it's my privilege to have with us one of our great guests, Andy Andrews, because you read his books, and they really have a message within. He's out there in the trenches working with people, kids, and families, and his brand new book called The Seven Decisions, Understanding the Keys to Personal Success, is just out. Is it today, Andy?
Yeah, just out. And all doing good, and I'm excited about it. It's an overall thing. You know, it really covers a lot of ground.
In what respect? Because you have written other books that tell stories and are supposed to take things from those stories. This is a little different.
Right. This is a little different. This is more of a nonfiction approach to those seven decisions, you know, that I found years ago when I was reading biographies and trying to figure out what made these people come together like they did. You know, were they born this way or was it something they did? And if it was something they did, how long did it take them to do it? And so it's something that I have worked with for years and years and years, literally 30 years. And as you know, I work with a lot of teams and a lot of companies, and I'd work with churches and entire cities sometimes.
Right. You wrote The Noticer and The Traveler's Gift, The New York Times. It says you're someone who has quietly become one of the most influential people in America, and you study people. You don't say, I'm the smartest one, but you want to learn from those who are successful. So when it boils down to it, you say parents remain the key.
Parenting is the key. I think parenting, I've come to believe that parenting is the fulcrum our society tilts upon. I think it's all parenting. You know, I sit down with this coach from a huge team, and he'll talk to me about this issue they're having. And I look, and very quickly I tell him, I say, you know, you are just parenting at an extreme level.
And he might, you mean a coach or a football coach or a basketball coach?
Yeah.
Who comes to you with a problem?
Yeah. And I talk to them all the time. And I'll look and I'll say, you know, you're parenting at an extreme level. And they want to back out of that and say, well, you know, hey, I'm not his parent. And I understand that in a traditional sense. But honestly, the problem is that no one else ever has been. And so you can either deal with this kid and prove to him habits that are beneficial to him in his future, and he will become a great member of your team and a great member of society, or you can continue to say, well, you know, I'm not his parent, and then you can deal with him till you kick him out, and then we'll have to deal with him when he's out with us.
Well, he's out with us. Now, people listening right now say, well, I had a dysfunctional family, or I had no parents at all, adopted late in life. Are they screwed?
No, they're not. And see, here's the challenge. There's a basic challenge with parenting as a whole that I have come to understand and believe, and that there's millions of books. There's just hundreds of thousands of parenting books and courses. And the challenge with them, Brian, is that they are all method-based. All of them are pretty good.
Right.
All of them are effective for a segment of our society. But the challenge, and I really figured this out working with teams and companies, but it's very true with parenting, is if you choose a method and you are working with that method and you use ideas that are good and take ideas that aren't good, you know, you will get results that are pretty good, all right? But you're using a method to design a result, to determine a result.
Right.
It's backwards. We need to determine the result we are after and then design the methods that will bring toward
Understood.
That process.
Yeah, look at the answer and then find out the question.
And so very few people determine the best. And our society needs to determine the best. I mean, I look at you. You're a Christian. Okay, well, Brian, does an atheist parent, do they want the best for their kids?
Absolutely.
Absolutely they do. Okay, well, the best is one thing. See, there's this issue of parenting standards. What are the standards for raising children? And people say, well, you have your standards, I have mine. But the definition of a standard is one thing, the best, that is agreed upon. All right, so if a standard is one thing,
right,
and you say parenting has many standards, then what we're saying is we have no standards. But that's Rome, and that's another conversation. But what we need to understand is that there is a best. You know, if you look at somebody who they're separated, they're not both living with the kid.
Right.
Right. Do they want the best for the kid?
Yeah.
Sure they do. All right. You can determine what that best is and then build a method moving toward it. But it goes back to what we talked about this morning.
Right. Well, yesterday I was, we had a huge story that was on Facebook that talks about we got to back off a little bit. You can't be so encompassing helicopter parents like the alpha parents.
Right,
you got to
right.
be more beta. Let kid figure things out for themselves. Let them go out and make mistakes. Let them walk 6 blocks to their friend's house. Let them hop on a subway once in a while and take the brakes off. They got to figure out things for themselves. Where do you stand?
That is true. That is true. However, here is how we need to discern what part of that we take and what part of the alpha part we take. Here's what we do, is we have to understand we're not after raising great kids. Everybody says that. We want to raise great kids. No. You want to raise kids who become great adults.
True.
It's a totally different thing, and it requires a different process.
So what are some things parents do that hurt that process?
All right. I'll give you a great example. I take my boys to school. I've got a 14-year-old, 11-year-old, and for a couple of years, I would take my boys to school and watch the principal out there greeting the kids, and everybody thinking, what a great thing. The principal's greeting the kids. That's right. He's fist bumping all the kids. And you might think, well, what's wrong with that? You know, here's the challenge. When my oldest boy was 4 years old, I grabbed several guys around town and I said, do me a favor. I appreciate so much the attention you pay to Austin, my little boy. I appreciate so much. However, I don't need you to teach my boy how to high five. Nobody is ever going to hire my kid because he can high five. There's nothing wrong with it. He'll learn it on the playground. But I need my boy to learn how to shake hands like a man, and I can't be the only guy in town doing it. So you and I both know, Brian, that if there's two kids that go in for a job, or two adults that go in for a job, and they have the same resumes, and they look the same, education, and
right.
one of them high fives and fist bumps, and the other shakes hands, who are you going to hire?
All right, that's a great point. I hope that the kid by 17 would know, or 18, and know you don't high five your teacher, but if they're learning it in second, third grade, that is a problem. Listen, Andy Andrews is going to stick around. He's the author of The 7 Decisions, Understanding the Keys to Personal Success. We'll get into those 7 decisions real quick. Hi, welcome back, everyone. Final segment here with Andy Andrews, author of The 7 Decisions, Understanding the Keys to Personal Success. So, Andy, a lot of people might be listening to this and be out of a job right now.
Right.
And they're saying, what am I supposed to do? I'm 28, I'm 26, I'm 32. I'm not going to change now. Is it true? It's going to be very hard to change?
It's not going to be very hard to change, but it's going to be impossible to change if you say to yourself, I'm 28 and I'm not going to change now.
It's a choice.
It is a
choice. And you can decide to change. And you actually, one of those things in your book says, today I will choose to be happy.
Right.
Everything is a choice.
Listen, it is a choice. And when I say that, you know, I'm not really saying, gosh, 5 seconds ago I chose to be happy, and now I really am. I'm saying there's more to it there. You can choose to be grateful. And when we are grateful, we are happier. And when we're happier, we're more fun to be around. And when we're more fun to be around, we're more likely to get hired or have opportunities. I mean, it just rolls right along.
All right. Going through the 7 things, some of the things you said, number one, the buck stops here. Take responsibility.
Right. It's totally different from most people think. Most people think that responsibility is two things. You got one side saying, until these people accept responsibility, and you got the other side going, but it's not their fault, their mother. But look, here, Brian, think about this. The truth is, responsibility is about hope and control. Who doesn't want to have hope mm-hmm. for a greater future that their choice is control? If you blame your mom or the president, not a lot of hope or control there. But if you can look in the mirror and say, I've had some crazy things happen, and I couldn't control any of them, but I've made choices in response that have led me to this place I don't like, then you can obviously see, if I can make choices to take me to a place I don't like, I can make choices to take me to a place I do like.
Right. And see, what are you discovering, though, when you deal with successful people that are missing something? It's the happiness quotient. They're accomplished, but they don't know why they accomplished things.
You know, there are several things. I bump back into parenting every time I think of something like this. There are several things. And one of the issues is, a lot of times people will believe something that's simply not true about themselves or about whatever, or they've stopped learning. You know, you only know what you know. And because you know it, when you bump up against what you know, you rarely go right or left. You rarely stay there. You'll go to the right or left.
Right.
And so, because you know what you know. But have you ever been wrong about something you knew? Well, of course. Okay, well, does the possibility exist you're wrong about something you know now? Yes. All right, so it opens up a whole new way of thinking to say, hey, I can get way past where I am, way past what I know, and what we know has to be accurate to make it work. Think about this. We were talking in the break about the way people change. There are three basic beliefs people have about how people change, and all three of them are wrong. One is people believe change takes time. It doesn't take time. Change happens in a heartbeat. It may take time to prepare to change. It may take time to decide to change, but change happens immediately. Second one, people think, well, they have to have a deep desire to change. Well, that's not true either. You and I could sit here and come up with many instances of things that you and I have we're going merrily along, and then we learned something different, and we did a 180 and right. Never looked back. We weren't looking for a change or have a deep desire to change. And the third one, people think they got to be at rock bottom to change. No, they don't, for the same reason the second one. But two things have to be in place. Number one, what's in it for me? I'm not saying a greedy way. I'm just saying, all right, I'm doing it this way. You want me to do it this way? If I do it that way, how does it affect me? And number two, is proof beyond a reasonable doubt that that's true? Not a mathematical proof, but just like, wow, that makes total sense. I never thought of it that way. And when that collides, those things, you can take a teenager and change his habits right away.
Right. Are you worried about this generation of kids that are becoming young adults?
I am, because I'm worried about the parents. I mean, Brian, if we look back into our history, I mean, you know, we say that we live in a society where nobody agrees about anything. No, we agree about one thing. Everybody agrees that society is in decline, and yet we can look back 70 years and we see a generation that we go, wow, we can track our rise to that and our decline since. That generation, that's the best we ever were. Those people produced more, they sacrificed more, they became more, and we even have a name for them. We call them the greatest generation. But I'll tell you this, I don't believe that they were.
Who is?
Their parents. Their parents. I mean, their parents and their teachers and their grandparents, Brian.
Made them the great
generation. Yeah, I mean, what standard did these people apply that
raised
70
those.
Years later, they're still the best we ever thought?
Great. Andy Andrews, very good point. Author of The 7 Decisions, Understanding the Keys to Personal Success, with a lot of parenting tips mixed in there. They're extremely important. Hey, listen, I see your calls up there, 1-866-408-7669. We'll reframe the big three and come back with Stephen Moore. Thanks for listening, everybody.